691.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be interviewing an innovator in the community. His name is Dr. Howard Korman. He's a urologist serving the greater Detroit area, but that's not why we're interviewing him. He's involved with a program for reintroducing homeowners to homes in the Southfield area. I think this is such a wonderful idea and hoping it could spread to other areas. We have lots of wonderful music for you. As always, we got a couple of requests and I was able to fulfill them as to the best of my ability. This week is the beginning of the book of Exodus. Exodus 1:1, the portion of Shmos. Have I got a Hasidic story for you? Listen to this one. The end of the hour. Hasidic story. Don't go away. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Clashes between Palestinians and IDF soldiers in the West Bank continuing a string of incidents near Rachel's tomb just outside Bethlehem. Protesters threw Molotov cocktails and rocks at IDF soldiers stationed there. Jerusalem police shot and wounded a Jerusalem Arab taxi driver turned terrorist this morning after he ran into a border police officer, wounding him in the leg. The cab hit a supply truck at the entrance of a police station and then aimed for the police officer. Police at the scene immediately opened fire. Israel will allow previously banned construction material into Gaza. The loosening of restrictions comes following the Egyptian-mediated truce last month that ended Israel's Operation Pillar of Defense. The building materials were banned for the last 5 years because of fear that they would be used to create rockets to be fired at Israel. Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas threatened to resign his position if peace negotiations did not resume after the Israeli election in January. Former Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman welcomed the news and said that Abbas is the primary reason why the negotiations are stalled. Abbas demands a full freeze on construction within the pre-67 borders for negotiations to begin. Abbas's term as president expired in 2009, but the PA boss refused to hold elections until there is a united Gaza and West Bank. Speaking of former Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman, he was indicted on charges of fraud and breach of trust for allegedly advancing the position of Zev Ben-Arya, Israel's former ambassador to Belarus, in exchange for information on an investigation against Lieberman. Lieberman resigned his position last week as foreign minister, but remains a member of Knesset and the head of the Israel Ba'atenu party, which merged with Likud for the upcoming election. Some very good news here. I've been following this one, but haven't been reporting it because I didn't think it would be as ever a story. But full accreditation was given to Ariel University. It is the first university to receive accreditation in the West Bank. Britain condemned the move, saying that the establishment of a full university within pre-67 borders would be an obstacle towards peace. And I say to them, go mind your own business. The U.S., this is a weird story. The U.S. is building a special five-story deep, that means five stories down, five basements down, deep bunker near Tel Aviv. It's one of these like top secret things that everybody seems to know about and even know where it is. It's like really strange. It's just would like never make it in like television. They're building a secret bunker that everybody knows where it is. The complex has six buildings, will have mezuzah scrolls on all doors, affixed in aluminum cases, which are special. Also, the place is going to be like one of these like bunkers where they can like hide the president in case there's like the prime minister, in case there's like some kind of nuclear attack and all kinds of operations and spy stuff going on. And it's really just they don't care. It's really strange. This is not M1, is it? M1 is the name of the organization? Yeah, this is not M1. Hawaii's governor this week named his Jewish lieutenant governor Brian Schatz to replace the late Daniel Inouye in the U.S. Senate, who died last week. Inouye has been senator of Hawaii since 1959. That's almost as long as that's a year younger than I'm alive. That's amazing that he was senator so long. But anyway, he must have been like 10 when he started. Wow. But anyway, Schatz brings to 11 the number of U.S. senators who identify as Jewish. It's 11 senators say, I am Jewish, in the Senate of 100, not including Senator Michael Bennett, who's a Democrat from Colorado, who doesn't identify himself as Jewish, but he notes that his mother is Jewish. So there are 12 Jewish senators in the Senate in America. And finally, some really good news. We're worried about the weather, you know, but the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee, rose 7 inches Saturday. You know what that means? How much rain had to fall for this massive reservoir to rise 7 inches? And is now only 3.21 meters short of the maximum level at which authorities allow water to flow southward into the Jordan River and Dead Sea. Since Thursday, the Kinneret's level rose 9.5 inches and expected to rise further in the next 24 hours. The Water Authority said that this sets a 10-year record for the month of December. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have online Dr. Howard Corman, who is a urologist here in the Detroit area and involved with a project with Habitat for Humanity and acquiring houses in the Southfield area. And that's what we're going to be talking about. How are you today, Dr. Corman?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good to hear. Thank you for taking time to come on to the show.
So no problem.
Tell us about this initiative that you're involved with Habitat for Humanity.
Well, it's kind of a merging of initiatives. I belong to Young Israel Southfield Synagogue, and for years we've been trying to rehab the neighborhood in terms of the young, bringing in a younger Jewish community to replace, as our community has gotten older, we want to make sure that we have a future. And over the past 5 years, we've brought in 28 new families to the community through a combination of outreach things, interest-free loans, helping people with jobs, and aggressive marketing. I was approached by Habitat for Humanity because they're obviously interested in stabilizing neighborhoods as well, and we are working together. They like the idea of having a focal neighborhood where people need to be for some reason and trying to stabilize that area. So the idea is to find foreclosed homes and pre-foreclosed periods and then find people who might not be able to afford a house anyway and work together to try to secure the home, rehab the home, and then make it a viable living alternative for someone who might not otherwise be able to afford it.
Okay. For those who don't know, could you tell us, our radio listening audience, where Young Israel Southfield is located? And don't say Southfield.
We are on Wasser between 11 and 12 Mile.
Okay.
And near Bell Road.
Okay, and how much are houses going for in that area that are not under foreclosure? They're just somebody decides, I don't want to live here anymore, and I want to sell my house, the average house.
If you have a house that's in decent shape, you're looking for a four-bedroom house, you're probably talking in the 180 to 200 range. If
okay.
you have something that is going foreclosure, hasn't been taken care of, you could find something as low as probably 80 to 90,000. Depending on the size of the home.
Mm-hmm. And these are a bigger house, per se, are they not, in that area?
They're all sorts. We can go from three-bedroom ranches up to, four-bedroom colonials. But they're not Bloomfield Hills-level houses. But as you cross Bell Road moving west, you can find some pretty large homes there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you want to entice young people into the neighborhood. Are these people multi-part question, how are people finding about you? How are you finding out about them? What's your marketing strategy? And how do we, the last 5 years was a real lull in Detroit as far as as the job market and the ability to attain mortgages in this, as everything was tightening up. 5 years ago, things were almost desperate in Detroit. So let's hear, how did you go about doing this, Dr. Howard Gorman?
Well, a lot of it was word of mouth. We initially started out weekends where we called them young couples shabbat phones, where we invited young families to come and visit the area. We went as far as to buy airfare for some of the families, and we had people talk to relatives they knew and friends they knew and people they knew in college and out and around the country. We put ads in the community links locally. We were able to work with the Orthodox unions, put out ads, and we eventually started just trying to figure out what people needed. The big break actually came for us when property value dipped, because whereas for people living in a home trying to sell a home, that's a problem. It's a great opportunity for young people. And in Orthodox communities, to find they need to be able to walk to synagogue on Sabbath because they don't drive. So it's hard to find an Orthodox community on the East Coast that you can walk to a synagogue easily without paying $500,000 for not much of a house. So this became a great opportunity for us. We already had the infrastructure because we were already trying to grow. And all of a sudden, we had this community that was very affordable. Kiva Day School is very affordable for a modern Orthodox day school. And we had a lot of the raw materials. So really, it came down to just being able to find jobs for people. And then finding people who went from living in a two-bedroom apartment for $400,000 to a four-bedroom, 3,000-square-foot house for the same money. So it was a great quality of life improvement. And all the nice things we know in the Detroit community, how nice people are, how you can drive someplace and park. There's not the same space crunch. People are friendly. So it's a great place to live.
Okay. Now, how did you help people with finding jobs?
Networking. There's a lot of opportunities. You know, we have people who are lawyers and who are doctors and who work at different schools, and we've been able to network that way. There's also a Jewish jobs group in Detroit that was started by Gary Torgo, and I'm part of that as well now. And we sit once every few months and look at resumes and try to see how we can network and try to find people access to jobs. It's amazing what you can do with word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous
thing. Medical happens to be very strong in Michigan. We have a lot of hospitals around, and surprisingly, there's endless medical jobs for doctors and things like that. So that hasn't been a big problem. We have a lot of school jobs available also.
Mm-hmm. That was my question. So what type of professions were you attracting?
But really, we've gotten into all sorts of fields, you know, not just medicine. You know, we've had accountants come in, and we've had dental students. We've had people doing residencies and different types of temporary school work who might come in for 2 or 3 years. But then once they're here, they're kind of hooked. You know, things are property values inexpensive, and it's easy to get into something, and the people are nice, and the community is welcoming, and we've been very successful in retaining people once they come.
Mm-hmm. How big was the membership of Young Israel of Southfield 5 years ago? How big is the impact that 30 families made?
Well, it makes a huge impact. We had 100 families at the time. Now we're up to about 130, and our biggest crisis now is that we don't have enough room for strollers, whereas before we had nothing but wheelchairs. So that was one of our campaigns, more strollers than wheelchairs. So we're actually going to celebrate the fact that we have a stroller problem in the next few weeks.
Uh-huh. You have to build a stroller port.
Yes. So that's very exciting. We actually did an expansion, which was something else that was interesting to do in this economic time, to actually be growing a synagogue. So we built on youth rooms and a big fenced-in area of a yard that we bought a foreclosed home next door to our synagogue. And we're about to put a playground in the spring. So it's very exciting. There's some skepticism that was initially there. Could we really do this? Should we just hunker down and wait for it to be over? But I looked at this as a great opportunity.
Okay.
Kind of like the Roach Motel. Nobody can move out. Everybody can move in, you know?
I don't know if I'm going to make that analogy, but I understand.
So.
Tell us about Habitat for Humanity. I think it's the Oakland County Division of Habitat for Humanity. How is it? What's their involvement?
Well, this is a new road we're trying to look at, and they've been very helpful in getting houses for people. They get awareness. They find out about foreclosures before they happen, and if they can have the right partnership with someone gets the house through them, they commit a certain number of man hours toward working to rehab the house. So they have to put in a certain number of hours to help fix it up. And it's really, people at the grassroots building a house, fixing it up, making it work, and then they get a favorable mortgage as a reward for it. So it's kind of working with people who have trouble making ends meet financially and making housing somewhat affordable for them. But this is a great opportunity for them, too, because houses are cheaper. For them, the idea, I think there's an angle in working with the Jewish community because maybe they can get some donors they haven't gotten before and get people. We have a motive to try to buy some of these houses. So I think the partnership of trying to get them and having identifying candidates for these houses is exciting.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this. So a person makes a prospective candidate, says, I would like to move to the Young Israel of Southfield area. And then you, plural, would find a house and say that you can move into this house for so much and so much on condition that you fix it up over a relatively reasonable period of time. Is that about the way it goes?
Yeah, it's a reasonable idea. They have to fill out an application. So it's a screening application that Habitat looks through. And then if they qualify for it, then we would try to identify a house that's suitable for them, hopefully one they like. And then we would work together to purchase it and, raise money to purchase it and rehab it. And again, they have to put in a certain number of man hours per family to help rehab the house. So it's real hands-on. And then at the end, we walk away. They walk away with a house,
Uh-huh. Now, me, for example, I failed shop in school. I mean, just forget it. I can't. Nails are just like my enemies. There's nothing I can do with a hammer or a saw. And so would I still be, expected to put in a certain amount of hours in actual manual labor?
I'm sure you could lift something or know somebody or work that out. But the Habitat people have ways of working around these things.
Okay.
People that are clodhoppers with hammers that we don't put people at risk. But they're just part and parcel. They're having help. It's not just you building a house by yourself. It's you have help, but you're expected to participate in the growth process.
Yeah, I don't know if I would live in a house that I built, to tell you the truth.
No, and I'm right there with you.
So, to qualify, is there a need base? We're talking about people who are doctors. These are people who have financial means.
These are more need basis. It's not this isn't going to recruit doctors coming in, but I could potentially see where you're trying to bring in teachers from out of state, and it could be an enticement to get a home for them, or just somebody who's, credit's not so good. They have trouble getting a mortgage. There's plenty of people around. There's even people locally in the community that are renting or in places, and this is an opportunity for them to get into a house that they ordinarily couldn't. But,
okay.
The benefit for us is it stabilizes the neighborhood. There's a commitment to being there and wanting to be there. And as anytime you put work into something, you care about it more. So
mm-hmm.
It seems like a win-win situation.
It definitely does. Now, you mentioned very quickly in passing in your opening remark of something about interest-free loans. Is that through the Federation?
No, that's actually an independent project we did at Young Israel Southfield. I was able to raise money. We raised approximately $40,000 that is being managed for us by Hebrew Free Loan. And we give out loans of $7,200 that are paid back at $120 a month over 5 years with no interest. So it's not money that can be used for a mortgage, but if someone buys a house and they need to, fix their foundation or do a kitchen or do something afterward, it helps. Gives them a little cash flow to start, help them with their landscaping. It's just an enticement to come in. We are working with the Hebrew Free Loan to try to see if we can expand this program, expand the scope of it. Hebrew Free Loan also has a new program for small business owners, Jewish business owners who are starting up through Danto, that is up to $100,000 for the right candidate for a Jewish businessman who's going to be here locally for a number of years. So it's really a community-based effort. We're just now trying to expand this. You see, we started with the small program mom-and-pop shop, and now we're trying to see how to market this. Or as a friend of mine said, if we can put the Young Israel Southfield program on steroids, we can really build the whole Detroit community, not just Young Israel Southfield.
Uh-huh. That was my next question, is how far would you like to see this go? Are you being like provincial, parochial, colloquial, whatever the expression might be, and say, well, we're focusing on 11 and Lasher, but we know that, say, that, you know, there's Oak Park and there's West Bloomfield and there's the Detroit
really,
is coming
any,
up.
Any place is a candidate for. I happen to certainly have a parochial interest in my neighborhood, but also I've been involved with the Kiva, the Orthodox, Modern Orthodox Day School, and for us, it's about getting volumes of Jewish families moving in. So I'm just as happy when a family moves in and winds up in Oak Park or Huntington Woods or the other side of Southfield or West Bloomfield. So anything that will help the community helps everybody.
Okay, so I'm sure by this point that there are lots of listeners who are very excited and want more information. Where do they go? You have a website, a phone number, an email address that people can contact somebody to get involved with this, Howard Cormier.
They can always go through yisouthfield.org, the Young Israel Southfield website, and make contact through there, get phone numbers, and just message and leave messages, and then I can call them back. That's probably the easiest way to do it. YISouthfield.org.
Okay, YI standing for Young Israel.
Southfield.org, or they can call Young Israel Southfield. Rabbi Morris is the rabbi at the synagogue, so they can always leave a message for Rabbi Morris. He's very involved in this, and he would be happy to call him and get people put in the heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Have you met with any opposition from anybody, any other community groups, or people saying this is the wrong way to be doing it, or you're not being ecumenical enough?
I think people are pretty much blown away that we succeeded. Nobody really thought it was possible. Everybody thought I was kind of like Chicken Little running around talking about how I was going to come up with the plan and get people here, but we've done it, we've seen it, and now other people are trying to see how to pattern it, either for their communities or the broader communities. I talk all the time to people about making this program bigger and trying to really build the entire Detroit Jewish community, which we all think is important, but this is a great opportunity for everyone.
Wonderful. Okay, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank you so much for coming on. Again, if anybody would like any information about this program of home ownership, focusing immediately now in the 11 Lasher area and then spreading out to the rest of today, Young Israel Southfield, tomorrow the world, yes. Contact Dr. Howard Cormier at yisouthfield.org. Dr. Cormier, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us, and please come back sometime in the near future and give us a progress report.
Love to. Okay, thank you so much for your time.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-1818.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. It's always exciting when things good are happening. Speaking of things good happening, a certain Michael Cohen, who lives in West Bloomfield, who asked if I could play a slower Avram Fried song. That's what he just wanted. He didn't give me a title. He wanted a slower Avram Fried song. So that was an easy one enough. So here for Mr. Cohen and for the rest of our Jewish listening audience, our Jewish Hour listening audience, is Adaraba.
Mahlas chavereinu Hoyah derabe Tein b'liebeinu Sheni rekol lechon Mahlas chavereinu Miloi veloi chesir Rabbi, pain will you be in you? Sheni recall the chord, Mahlas Havere in you. Oh, yeah, Rabbi, pain will you be in you? Sheni recall the chord, Mahlas Havere in you. Veloy veloy chesroino. Bishne davin kolecho des laveiro. Biderecha yosher v'yorotzu. Yale belir beinu shum sino meyachod al chaveroi chulilo v'shenida vavein kolecho des chaveroi hoy bederecha yosher
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Hey, Shulton, here. You're listening to the Jewish Shower. We've got some classic Shlomo Carlbach coming up for you. This is from 1963. More music, more music. This is Boi B'Shalom. And this was an anonymous request. Person said, don't mention my name, but I want to hear Shlomo Carlbach singing Boi Shalom, preferably an older version, meaning from the 60s, not from the 90s. And this is going out to them. And if you have a request, if you want to hear some kind of music, some genre, whatever it might be, contact me, www.rabbifinman.com. And if I can do it, I haven't been challenged yet when I haven't been able to find it. You know, we've, thank God, have an extensive... discography of songs for your listening pleasure. This is Shlomo Carlbach. Thank you so much. Is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood. Hey, Shulman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. It's time to be a little upbeat and lively. This is for your listening pleasure, Schlock Rock, and the tune is called Satisfied.
I had two, but I wanted four. I had plenty, but I wanted more. I wasn't satisfied. I bought one, but I wanted a pair. Got a table with some 20 new chairs. I wasn't satisfied with my lot. Oh, are we sad?
Satisfied with my lot. Oh, are we satisfied? something more? Would I wake up in time to see the score?
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This is actually big news. Fruitasia on Southfield Road, 13 Mile, now sells kosher meat, and it looks really good. Let me just tell you, it looks really good. They have lamb, veal, beef, and some packaged goods. When I say packaged, they still have kishka over there, and but they're also doing a line now of ready-to-prepare foods. Yeah, about this one, you know. So it's like they had like these tins of sweet and sour meatballs that you just take them and you put them into the oven. And they had these containers, these like quart containers of noodle kugel mix. If you don't know what a kugel is, go look up online. And you just dump it into a pan and then stick it into the oven. I think this is absolutely wonderful. It's awesome. And it's available at Fruitasia. Tell them you heard about it on the Jewish Hour. Things are looking good, you know. It's good to be Jewish now. Anyway, we're starting Exodus 1:1, the second book of the Bible, with a portion of Shmos. The name in Hebrew, Shmos, which is the name of the book, it's the name of the portion. Generally, what we say, and you can even be more specific, is that the name of something is a direct indication to the thing. There are lots that you can tell about an object specifically, and a person somewhat also, by what their name is. I have actually done this at parties, where I'll ask people, what's your Hebrew name? And they'll tell me what their Hebrew name is. And based on like the meaning of their name in Hebrew, I will say, well, are you somewhat like this, 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 and this? And they'll go, wow, that's incredible. And it sometimes freaks me out too. I'm kind of wondering about my own name sometimes. Herschel, because a Herschel is a stag or a buck, a big deer, one of those six pointers. That's a Herschel. And I've wondered, I'm not very fast. I'm not very fleeting. So I don't know what else Hirsch do, but other than the fact they run to do the will of their creator. So, but The whole entire book, it makes more sense to call the book Exodus. Yes, it does. Because what's the book about? It's about the Jews leaving Egypt. And here in Hebrew, it's not called Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. We could easily say, well, it's the first word of the book. You know, so well, hello, it begs the question, so why is Shmos meaning names? As it says, these are the names of the children of Israel who went down to Egypt. It could have said that the Jewish people, as they were preparing to leave for Egypt, somehow we could have put the word Yetzias Mitzrayim in there. We could have put it and called it the book of Exodus in Hebrew as well. What's the big deal as to calling the portion of the week names? Which is, that's all, it's just the first three verses. It says there, it lists the names, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, and Benjamin. And that's it. And then it goes on from there, and then it says they had this horrible hardship, and the king was doing all kinds of horrible things, and they became in servitude, and you know, the people called out to the bondage, and we got the burning bush this week. And Pharaoh's first trip, Moshe's first trip to Pharaoh with the snake and going on over here that's coming up soon. And the first refusal of Pharaoh and Moses complaining. And that's basically the outline of the portion. Very little having to do with actually names. But it's an amazing thing. Very simple, first of all, let's go with the simple before I go to the amazing thing. It says simply that one of the reasons why the Jews merited to leave the Egyptian bondage is because they maintained their identity. They didn't have a religiosity yet because the Torah hadn't been given. But they maintained their names, their style of dress, and their language. They did not try to assimilate. They did not take on Egyptian names. They did not pick up speaking Egyptian at home. They stuck with Hebrew. And they dressed like the children of Jews dress. They didn't pick up the Egyptian style of dress. And it says, because of this and that merit, was some of the merits of many merits are mentioned, that they maintained their names is a big thing. That's a simple level why it's called that. But why is it that a name is so important? You think that your mother named you what she named you because you're named after, you know, Grandpa whoever, or Uncle George, or, you know, Cousin Max, whatever, or some great figure in history that they, you know, of biblical proportions. I haven't run into too many Moseses, except for maybe Moses Alou, but so that's not the reason why you're called what you're called. That's not the reason why your name is your name. You're called your name because that's the way your soul is manifest. Let me explain. The Hebrew language is called Lashon HaKodesh, the holy tongue. Why is it called the holy tongue? Not because the Bible is written in it. It's sort of like backwards. It's the Bible is written in this language because it's the holy tongue. It's a language that God used to create the world. When, for example, at the beginning of the book of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light." What language was God talking when he said, "Let there be light"? He was talking Hebrew and the word or. What's the idea, or, light? God, of course, doesn't have a body. God doesn't speak. But just to make it so that we can talk about something, the godliness comes down in very specific channels. These channels, this contracted, contained godliness, comes down in basically 22 different patterns. And we refer to, this is Kabbalistically speaking, the 22 different patterns as a letter. So there's a pattern of godliness which is like an aleph, a pattern which is like a vav, and a pattern like a resh, which are three Hebrew letters. And we put them together, the patterns are put together in this formation, and as the creation process continues, the final result in this physical world is light. And that's sort of like, in a nutshell, in 30 seconds, how God created the world. I could talk about this for hours, because it's not so simple. So the name of what something is indicates its whatness, is what it is. The classic example is the word truth. How do we come in English to the word truth, based on the word true? And what is truth? And you can have all kinds of debates on true and the definition of true and all kinds of stuff like that. In Hebrew, it's very simple. The word in Hebrew for truth is emes. It is comprised of the first, last, and very middle letters of the alphabet. And for something to be true, according to its Hebrew name, it has to be consistent from the beginning through the middle to the end without ceasing or interruption. Once there is some kind of deviance or diversion or interruption, it's not true. Very simple to understand. So now, the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, is called in Hebrew the book of names. Because in looking at this book, the three greatest miracles that ever were perpetrated in the annals of the history of man being the Exodus of Egypt, the splitting of the Reed Sea, and the Sinaitic revelation, the giving of the Torah on Sinai in the desert, are all in this book. And it is by this process of revelation of godliness, is it that we know of how we come into existence? How is it that everything gets its names? And therefore, by calling this book the Book of Names, what we're really looking for at the onset is not the names of Jacob's 12 children. We know those already. We've already had that for many, many portions ago. But an active awareness of God's active participation in an active, ongoing creation. What am I going to do with this information? Hey, it's very easy to say. Everything's with divine providence. Speaking of divine providence, we got to get moving on. We've got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't want to miss this Hasidic story coming up. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way? RabbiFinman.com. You'll find on the homepage, you don't even have to click a separate link, right there on the homepage, there's a contact me. You click on that. You send off an email to me. I send an email off to you. We establish a relationship. Everybody lives happily ever after. What else is on RabbiFinman.com? We've got archived editions of the show. keep them up for about a month. So if you happen not to hear the show right now, well, you can just tune into RabbiFinman.com. We usually post it by Sunday afternoon so that you can listen right away. We also have archived editions of the E-Parsha, which is a written missive from yours truly, Insights into the Portion of the Week and a Hasidic Story, the U-Parsha and Hasidic U-Story, which are the same, only in video form, and of course, the very important donation page. Today is the next to last day of 2012. The IRS is looking. They want to know, how much charity did you give this year? Do it today. Go to the donations page. Click on the donation of your choice. And you will be surely rewarded. Your taxes will be less. The Almighty will shower blessings upon you that you are supporting a charitable organization. The Jewish Hour is just one small project of a very larger, much larger organization, which encompasses many other projects. And you'll be happy. I'll be happy. Our radio listenership will be happy. God will be happy. The IRS will be happy. The federal government will be happy. And the world entire creation, indeed, will be happy that you did that. All just with a small donation. Think about it. It's worth it. RabbiFinman.com. Don't like using the internet for donations? I can understand. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Our story occurred in the early 1800s. A young widow came to the Rebbe Tzvi Hirsch Rimonov. Rimonov is the name of a city, not a name of not a last name. And complaining, crying bitterly, her husband died, and she's still very young, and she wants to have children, and she doesn't want to be like left alone. And so the rabbi asked her, tell me about your husband, okay? And says, tell me this about the city you were born, and the street that you grew up in. She started telling him, and he said, wait a minute. The house that you lived in, did it look like such and such and such and such? And she said, yes. So the Rebbe sat in thought for a great while, like maybe a minute or two, and things would pass by, just deeply, deeply in thought, and said, you should marry me. The rabbi at that time was 60 years old. He himself was a widower. He had already grown children, already maybe even older than this woman, and said, you should marry me. And this woman, of course, was shocked. Here she's coming for advice. She wants to get married. She did not expect that the Rebbe would say, I want to marry you. And she's like, the, as you could probably well imagine. It'd be like your hero, whoever he is, fill in the blank, saying, yes, let's get married. So she said, Rebbe, if you think it's appropriate and I'm worthy, then I'm willing to do it. So they had that right there. They had the engagement. They signed up all the contracts that were necessary to establish the engagement and brought out the cake and the l'chaim, and everybody was like, you know. And he said, you might be wondering why I did such a thing like this. He said, when I was a young boy, my father died when I was 10, and I was apprenticed to be a tailor. And one of my jobs was on Friday, I would return all of the mending and alterations around to all the various different people so the people would have them in time for the Shabbos, for the Sabbath. There was a family that lived on a certain street, and they had a large family. And when I would come, it would inevitably, by the time I got to their house, it was already pretty much, it was like Shabbos afternoon. And whenever I would come, it didn't matter if it was like 12:05 or if it was 2 hours later, the house was pretty much ready for Shabbos in the early afternoon. Even so much that the bottle of wine that they're going to do the Kiddush, the sanctification of the Shabbos, was already on the table. And it just, the mood of Shabbos was already felt on Friday afternoon. And as a young boy, I said, I would really like to be part of this family. And now that you came to me, of course, again, life went on, and I stopped being a tailor, got involved. Involved with his Rebbe was Menachem Mendel of Rimonov, and he took over for him. And he had his own family, and his wife died, and here he was left below. And he said, and now I'm presented with this opportunity to fulfill my childhood wish of being part of this family. Of course I want to marry you. And they did indeed. They were married. They actually had two kids. He passed away, unfortunately, sometime thereafter. But the woman married the Halakha Rishona Rebbe, who raised these two children as his own. So everybody lived quite well. Everybody lived happily ever after, as the story goes, and I'm glad that was. And speaking of happily ever after, I'm glad you had a chance to tune in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope that you have a great week. And we hope you tune in again next week. Take care.
Faith Talk 1500, in cooperation with the American Negro Playwrights Theater, presents a very special event in honor of Black History Month in Detroit.